Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Here's McCoy breaking a tackle. McCoy into the end zone, and Buffalo wins it. Incredible.
Ed, is the snow game 2017 Bills over the Colts 13-7. LeSean McCoy did everything that day. 32 for 156 and a touchdown. In terms of throwing the ball, they did do a little bit of that.
As a matter of fact, Nathan Peterman throws a touchdown in that game.
He throws a touchdown, yeah.
He throws a touchdown
Calvin
in the game.
Benjamin, 3 for 38 and a touchdown.
And yet it's not the best throw of the game.
No, it's Webb.
It's Webb.
Joe Webb.
To Deontay Thompson.
I think what's crazy, the lasting legacy of the game was actually how important it was.
Yes, but who could see who it was going to in that game? All you knew is that, okay, a red jersey caught that football.
That's all you got. Deontay Thompson?
Yep.
Yeah. That game will always be funny to me because I remember when I was not at the game. I was watching at home, and I just thought how, like, basically Looney Tunes it was that game was even occurring. And, like, what, the following week it was essentially – no, they really – I mean, we knew going in they needed to win that game. It was very important to a potential playoff run.
Right.
It became vitally important after they'd won it. You're like, oh, well, thank goodness for LeSean McCoy.
It actually happens that
way. Oh, man. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here talking lasting memories of Highmark Stadium as for – in all likelihood, Sunday will be the final game for the Bills there as they move into their new home starting next year. We promise we get back to your phone calls, and we'll do that right here, starting with Gary on the line. Gary, how are we doing?
I'm doing great here in Omaha, Nebraska. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
My hometown, Buffalo, New York. The 1990 AFC Championship game. Flying back with my sister from Omaha, my brother flying in from St. Louis. On the connecting flight from Chicago to Buffalo, walking through middle class, there's Bill Walsh. And I stopped, shook his hand, and said, hello, coach, going to see our hometown's championship game. He looked at me and said, I think you'll be all right. Going to the game, waiting for our ride to go to the stadium. It's freezing cold. And I'm telling my brother while we're waiting out in the cold, savor this day. This could be our city's greatest sports day ever. Our first home championship game since the 66 AFL championship game in the Rock Pile when Len Dawson and Mike Garrett got us. And this was our first home championship game since then. The day was cold. The game was easy, and the second half was just one big celebration of a city going to our first Super Bowl and winning on national TV. And 4 days earlier, we had just dropped some bombs, and the Gulf War started.
We were at
war for the first time since Vietnam, and everything was just one big celebration of our city in that stadium. All day long.
Yeah, Gary, thanks for the call. That is right. I always forget about that because then you get to the Super Bowl, of course, and then there is the very iconic national anthem because of that whole situation going around there. 1990 AFC Championship, Sal talked about it as well. The big celebration. Derek, have you ever actually gone back and been able to watch this game, like on YouTube? It is hysterical. Watching the Raiders, like, very clearly have no idea what to do. Like, almost immediately they have – and, of course, we know the score – in all likelihood, of course, they didn't know what to do. But you're just seeing guys, I mean, hands on hips, like the second drive. And they're like, what is going on here? They keep coming at us. They don't stop. It's incredible to watch. I think Howie Long has like a picture in his face, eyes wide. And he's just like, again?
Again.
And it's just, it's incredible. Looking at some of the stats, Thurm goes over 100 yards and a touchdown. Kenneth Davis has 3 touchdowns on 10 carries. Kelly goes over 300, 2 touchdowns. The Bills get 6 picks in this game, excuse me. The starter has 5. Just an incredible.
Well, there's a game where they throw 5 interceptions and lose accordingly.
Just a dominating performance. And, you know, as the caller mentioned, by halftime it's a party. It's because it's 41-3. It's just a complete butt-whooping. And you know, I'm not alive for this. It's probably, though, yeah, the greatest sports moment in Buffalo history, in modern Buffalo sports history. I don't want to completely exclude the AFL championships, but in modern, you know, Buffalo history, that's probably the moment. Is just the euphoric feeling of, we're going to kick the Giants' bleep in a minute here. Look at this game. It doesn't happen, but you still have that. And it's at home. It's incredible. I think a lot of people, like, that's the game people were envisioning for this year.
I would imagine that the perfect offensive game probably has something to do with this, too. In a more modernized, less, we're actually going to the Super Bowl, because that's what the stakes were that day.
Mm-hmm.
But they smoke New England, put them back down saying, no, you're not ready yet.
Oh, yeah.
And up next is, okay, this team looks different from last year. They are better than last year. One ill-fated divisional game later, but, you know.
Yeah.
In that moment, you're probably thinking, oh, they're good. We're all the way back again. Let's go.
I like that you brought that point up about the 21 playoffs, because that season was much like this one. Very frustrating. You know, it takes the Tampa overtime loss for many of us to think, ooh, they're back. Here we go. Going into the playoffs, Derek, I'll be completely frank with you. I was like, yeah, they'll beat New England. I don't see anything past this. And then they whooped on New England, and they looked so dominant on offense. And you're just like, oh, okay.
Oh, they could be spicy.
And then, of course, look, they do lose 13 seconds, but there's a reason why most of us still talk about that team like the team that should have won the ring, is because how they even looked in that loss. So, and that's where it kind of is those playoffs. I know it's an entirely different team, different talent on the roster, the whole thing. But it's why I also won't totally shut the door on this season. Of course, they're going to the playoffs. You shouldn't. You know,
right.
Let's see how the ride ends. But that season is kind of why, like, I won't shut the door entirely, is because going into that playoff, I didn't really expect too much. I kind of was like, all right, they're going to be a little bit of a roller coaster here. 2020 was the high point. We're going to, you know, kind of go back down a little bit to earth. Hopefully 22 is better. And instead it was just, oh, okay, they're a fire hose. Like, here we go. And I'm not saying it could definitely happen this year, but I've seen the stats, what they look like with Dalton Kincaid in the roster and when they don't. You know, and if they're going to play it, like, just, we need you as healthy as possible, perfect. And I also mentioned it on the overtime show. Brandon Cooks. Look, we didn't get a lot of it from the offense, but I was really into the fact that they were able to stretch the field with Cooks against a very talented Eagles defense, pass defense especially, and he didn't even have Dalton Kincaid in the game. So I don't know. You know,
right.
It's something I've kind of leaned into. I'm glad I've also seen, like, guys like Dan Orlovsky kind of point that out. He did yesterday on One Bills Live of, like, hey, it's not everything, but it might be something.
There might be something. There's still some juice left,
yeah.
And we'll see. We'll have to see how it all goes, but obviously, the only difference is that those future memories right now are not going to be in the building.
Yeah. Back to the phones. John is up next. John, how are we doing?
Great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Excellent. Hey, just, you know, this may seem a little esoteric at this point, but, you know, I mean, every single game that I've ever been to at that stadium has just been awesome, and it's just representative of the community that supports this team. And I've been to a few NFL games elsewhere, right? And I've never seen a community back their sports team like Buffalo backs their Bills, right? And mm-hmm. It's just been such a great ride in this stadium through all the changes in roster, all the changes, you know, or at least one change in ownership, right? But if I had to pick one game that I was at, and I was sitting almost midfield, was the 93 comeback game against mm-hmm. the Oilers. It was just such a huge experience. We were even thinking about going and leaving. We're like, well, wait a minute. We got to stick around for this. And it was just the stadium exploded. And it was absolutely such a great time to be a Bills fan, and great time to be in that stadium.
Absolutely, John. Thanks for the call. That is a game I always enjoy when the comeback is brought up, Derek, mainly because, and I've mentioned it about this season, that I think if the Bills were to go on and win the Super Bowl, people would probably change the tune of how they felt for most of the year.
Absolutely, like lying to everybody, including themselves.
And I'm not judging, because how many people do you know that mentioned, I was at 93 and I stayed the entire time? And you're like, statistically, probably didn't.
How many of you are there?
Yeah, how many of you did you lie? And I'm not judging. I think that's funny. I enjoy it.
You've even said on air, if the Bills do win it all this year, you're going to say, I never said any of those things.
Gaslight, gatekeep, grow boss. Let's roll. I'm fine with that. It is what it is. But, you know, I will mention, though, in 93, and the reason why I'm saying this in like kind of like a loving fashion, if I was at that game in 93, I probably would have left at halftime. It is what it is. You know, you're getting blown out. It's cold. I'm going home. I respect a lot of people that really did stay. I know both.
Get over the line of gaslight, keep girl boss.
There you go. Rules to live by. You got to live by it. But, I know both my parents went. They were not together at the time. They end up meeting later. But both of them were like, yeah, I left. Of course I did. They were with entirely different groups. Like, yeah, I left. My dad was like, I had the flu. I was out. They weren't winning. I was gone.
Yep. But I also do wonder, though. This day and age, they're not allowed back in.
Right.
That is the other part of it. They are like base coaches rounding third. Seeing fans trying to flock back in, they're like, all right, come on, let's go. Something weird's happening. Get back in here if you're actually thinking about it. We're not going to try to stop you. We don't have the manpower, first of all. And second of all, something cool is happening.
This is really cool. Get back in there.
Yeah, something cool's happening. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Get back in here.
And we kind of saw it week one this year where people were like, wait, what's going on? What's happening? No.
But you're not going to, like this day and age, you're not going to be allowed back in.
No. No.
That sort of moment it's a one of one.
Yeah. It's a moment really from a different age. I mean, you even look at it now. I mean, we mentioned Bills Mafia is created during the drought. Those were games that weren't always getting sold out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for at the time, Rich Stadium, it wasn't always happening. And so, yeah, like it was a different time where, yeah, you get everybody back in here. Nowadays, you're right. I mean, there's no chance at all. 803-0550, again, the number to call. We keep going back to the phones. Bruce is up next. Bruce, how we doing?
Hey, Happy New Year, guys.
You as well.
I'm lucky and blessed enough to have lived through most of what you guys are talking about. being on the sideline, or not on the sideline, but about 13 rows up and watching Reggie McKenzie point at the Miami Dolphins while the goalposts are going up, and he's got this cat grin all over his face just pointing at him. And, of course, at the Raiders game, I was freezing my rear end off and stayed at that game. But my brother and I did leave at the greatest comeback, and that was a blackout game. It wasn't shown in Buffalo. So we're driving home listening to the radio, and all of a sudden it's like, Canada, let's go to Canada. The game's on in Canada. So we drove to Canada and watched Norway kick the field goal. But I digress for a moment. If you want to celebrate the stadium, how about driving statisticians absolutely crazy? Since 72, the total number of yards, both offense and what the other team did, total number of pick sixes, both offense against defense, shortest drive, longest drive, all that good stuff, all the total stats since the beginning of the stadium. What do you guys think? I'll hang up and I'll listen.
Bruce, I love that idea. I wonder, though, obviously they've known for a little while this is going to be the last season. I wonder if the Bills have been doing something like that. They've got enough employees just to have somebody just keep totaling this up. We get it in the off season and then just keep track of this season. I wonder if they're doing that stuff. I could see there is at least a Bills fan out there that is doing this, that is prepared for on Sunday or whenever the final game is, here are the total numbers. That would scare me. The stadium opens in 73.
Yes.
That would frighten me. Even a stadium opening in like 2000 and closing in 2025, I'd be like,
That's a lot of numbers.
It's a lot of numbers. I'm not a math guy. Get out of here.
Not a math guy.
Give me in 73. Oh, boy. I mean, oh, man. Just I think it's going to be fun. I was very nervous, Derek, you know, coming into this final game a little bit, you know, just because the buildup to this season was the storybook potential of hosting an AFC championship game and going to a Super Bowl.
Storybook style of doing
right.
this. So like, you've got to be able to close it out with the historical thing, even if it's only a divisional game. Make sure you win it. Mm-hmm. Go out with the win in the playoffs. Treat everyone to it. And I think that's where a little bit of the frustration lies with me this season with them, is that that didn't happen. But the other part of it is something that they could not control. Realistically, a 11 or 12 win team is threatening for a division title. The Patriots played a bunch of nobodies.
And they basically didn't trip outside of like really early in the season when they lose to Vegas, which is what, week one or two?
Week one.
Yeah.
They opened the season losing to Vegas. But then they just rifle off wins, including one against Buffalo that starts a win streak for them that was obnoxious and one that ultimately does them in. I don't know what you do from there. But now it's like, okay, maybe you can climb to the 5 seed. Wacky things can happen in the playoffs, and then you can get back into Highmark Stadium. It's possible. It's doable. Am I banking on it? You said you're not a numbers guy. I'm not either, but the numbers will tell me that's not very likely.
Right, it's not likely.
I know what they're saying to me.
Now, if they're the 5 seed, I think many people have much more in-depth conversations of that, especially if it's Pittsburgh and you're the 5, and then, you know, I don't even know how that could work, but like Houston's at New England, and then you'll have Chargers and Jacksonville. You could sit there, and even now, you can have an honest conversation of, do all 3 road teams win? We could see it. Then it all of a sudden becomes like, oh, okay, maybe we'll get at least one more in here. But if you're the 5, it would take the 6 and the 7 both advancing and one of them be, or, and I think you would even have to just be 5 and 7 in an AFC championship. I don't even think it could be 5 and 6. So it would take a lot. But I was worried that people would be very frustrated by it. I'm still somewhat worried that people are going to be agitated if ultimately it comes to fruition that we've talked about with Sal and talked about it, you know, today especially, that most of the starters don't play. Like, yeah, they're wearing the red helmets and that's going to be really cool and that's going to be a nice little send-off for the stadium. But it's ultimately Mitch Trubisky playing at quarterback. No disrespect to Trubisky, but he's not Josh Allen. I mean, to many Bills fans, no matter your age, he is your favorite Bill of all time. I've mentioned a lot. He has sort of, in some ways, kind of saved my fandom with the Bills, where, yeah, I'd be proud to be from Buffalo and I'd be a Bills fan, but I wouldn't be where I'm at now with them. And so I'm still somewhat a little bit nervous to see how the reaction will be if you know, Josh goes out there, takes one snap, hands it off to Cook or whoever it be, and then he's like, all right, give me my hat. I'm out.
Give me my hat. I'm out. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to. And
He may not. I don't think he really has much of a choice.
No, he doesn't.
He has taken a beating this year. 40 sacks compared to 14.
Right.
Buddy, get on the bench.
Buddy, get on
the bench. Will see you next week.
And that's going to be a little bit of a sad thing. But, you know, like I said, there's a non-zero path that they could host another game. Right now, though, they're in the lowest seed possible. So it don't look good.
It does not look good. 803-0550, again, the number to call. I want to get your thoughts in on the Bills closing up, in all likelihood, this iteration of Highmark Stadium on Sunday at 425 against the New York Jets. We will also get some Bandits talk coming up in the next segment. Steve Burnell is going to join us for a little bit on that. But we go back to the phones here right before our next timeout. Paul is up next. How are we doing, Paul?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
Good, good. I just wanted to give you a little bit of perspective on that greatest NFL comeback game and mm-hmm. what happened with all the gates and everything. I actually did security for the Bills from 87 till about 2000.
Very yes. nice, very and, nice.
Yeah, and I was on the field for most of the game because I was in charge of all the non-police officer mm-hmm. security at the stadium on game day. And what happened in that Houston game was that, if you remember, there was an interception, a pick six at the start of the second half, and people just, at that point, left in droves. And the gates were completely different back then. They were older gates, and you had one turnstile to get a person out. And then at the end of the game, they had a huge swing gate that you would open to let everyone out when the game was over. Well, there were so many people packed in the turnstile gate, I had to call security operations to tell them, open up the swing gates or, you know, you're going to get somebody physically hurt.
Right, we're going to have a problem here.
And so they opened up all the swing gates. The people left in droves. Well, they left the swing gates open, so when the Bills started coming back, they came back in droves.
But, I love that.
There was no way that anyone was going to stop anyone from getting into the back into the stadium.
That's awesome.
We didn't have one issue after, even with people coming in, not sitting where they were supposed to sit. People were so into the game. It was fantastic.
Yeah, Paul, that's awesome.
That's
so
awesome. Thank you for the perspective.
I also love, too, whenever the comeback is brought up, it is how quickly the Bills make it a game.
Yes.
They score 28 points in the third quarter. So going into the fourth, they're only down 35-31, and then they take the lead.
Considering the start of that third quarter is a pick six.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny, though. You're right. It starts the third quarter, interception 35-33. By the end of the third quarter, it's 35-31. It is so sudden, and we see these comebacks all the time, right? I mean, as Bills fans, we are now somewhat used to the insane flip of a switch where you're like, 5 minutes has gone by. How have you scored 21? Like, what is happening? Like, it's become somewhat normal. Even now, though, all these years later, it is still kind of crazy to see just how fast it flipped.
But I love how it was logistical. Mm-hmm. Okay, the swing gates so that nobody gets hurt when they're leaving.
Right.
And then, okay, they're not coming back clearly, so we're just going to leave these open for people to get out of here. The opposite happens.
And immediately the opposite happens.
And again, you don't have the personnel to get this done.
No.
Like, we're not rejecting you at that point. That's probably what's going to happen. All right, those things are open. They're staying open now.
It's incredible. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, Steve Bermell on the Bandits will join us for a quick check-in on them. They finally played another game, another win for them. We'll get a deep dive in on that when we come back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.